Parker Palmer tells stories of his beloved Minnesota and how this time of year brings not only calm, cold, but also peace. Now, I've never been to Minnesota in the wintertime, but I have lived in Chicago. There, the winds howl between the buildings, and the air bursts with cold. And there are times when the ice chills us to the bone. And there's even days in which we rejoice. We rejoice that the temperature has reached a warm and balmy 32 degrees. My parents are here in from Chicago to join Dan and I for Thanksgiving. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. During our time together, we began to recall the Thanksgivings of my childhood. Every year over Thanksgiving weekend, my parents would get all of my sisters and I into the van, and we would go downtown Chicago, and we'd go to Marshall Fields. Now, Marshall Fields of my childhood is a lot like Macy's of New York. The windows. The windows would be decorated as a child's fantasy, telling of cherished holiday stories. There'd be moving characters and dancing lights. And I have to tell you, as a child and even as an adult, it was amazing. Despite the cold, we would stand there entranced by the stories told by the window, the twirling and the whirling designs of the holiday delight. And later we would head off to buy a tree. Now Dad would take all four of us girls and patiently wait as each of us debated the merit of a different tree. This one's too short. No, this one's too high. No, this one's too round. No, that one has a hole in it. And after all of our bickering and after all of our discussion, he would then look at us and say, "I discovered the perfect tree." We would then tie it to the car and head home where Mom had finished decorating the house with treasures from Christmases gone by. And we would end the evening putting up the tree. Now, this is the idyllic story of childhood. We did all these things, but in the midst of them, things were not quite so neat. My sisters and I would bicker, and something would always go wrong. There would be frustrations, broken ornaments, and a fight or two about the Christmas tree stand. Now, seriously, a little Christmas tree stand? You would think that there would not be a lot of fights over Christmas tree stands. But even in my marriage with Dan, we have a fight almost every year. The tree is leaning to the right. No, no, no. It's now, you need to turn it. No, it's now leaning to the left. No, now you need to move the stand. And then the tree inevitably tips over, and we all have to start all over again. Generations of Christmas tree stands. Now, there were many stories created in the season of not only Christmas tree stands, but many others. And some of these we remember fondly in the future, but others we hoped we would forget. Right, Mom and Dad? Mm-hmm. My mother encompasses the essence of our family with the words, "We put the fun in dysfunctional." Despite it all, we would gather together and set out the nativity scene that was hand-painted by my grandmother. My sisters and I would scurry out to grab our favorite pieces and put them delicately, well, as delicately as children's hands can be. We put them delicately on the mantle, and culminating with my youngest sister, Molly, placing the baby Jesus in the manger. All the while, Dad would be trying to tell us the Christmas story. It was in these times that I learned not only about family, and commitment. But I also learned the lessons of faith that still sustain me in the winters of my life. I learned I am not alone. Parker Palmer found he was not alone, even in the midst of his father's death, because his father had taught him what Palmer calls a deeper, larger grace, in which we see ourselves and we see one another more clearly in the very ground of our being. Now, I offer that we see this deeper, larger grace in community. We find it in one another. Now, it was seen clearly, very clearly on Thursday, when we gathered together on Thanksgiving Day. A bunch of people filled the parish hall, not only full of laughter, but also wonderful sense of food. And as we came together not only as members of a church, but also as family and friends. As I was among you, I heard so many stories, including how each of you met one another, how friendships have grown. I even heard one couple telling each other why they love each other so much. I heard much laughter, especially around a song that was going on in the kitchen. One that was talking about turkeys waiting in the gravy. And I heard and saw many loving hands that were at work with the food prepared and as we joined in the dinner. The graceful efficiency of Lynn, the joyous singing of Laurel, the patience of Terry, and all of those who worked in the kitchen. You all know who you are. Raise your hand. Yay. Thank you. Now, most of us knew one another, but also we found new friendships. I was able to meet more of you and learn your talents and commitments and, oh, so many stories. One of you shared the story of how a shawl was created by hand, and another shared memories of past Hanukkahs and how he had decided now to call this Hanukkah, which is Thanksgiving and Hanukkah beginning on the same day, Hanukkah Thanks. We also told stories of the dishes that we brought, ones that were old family recipes and others that were new finds. I learned the story of a pumpkin pie that had, the recipe had gone down three generations. And you were generous enough to let me have that recipe so I can share it with my families. Not only did we gather, but also families from Dayspring, one of our partners, gathered with us. These three families joined us and joy abounded as we shared in a meal and they shared with us the ways in which they were now ready to leave Dayspring, to strike out on their own, and their thankfulness, not only to Dayspring, but also to us. We made it possible, with just a few dollars, for a man to reach home for a short visit for his family. Together, we saw one another, and we were and we are a family. Yet, our community is not only a community at Thanksgiving. We all know that, don't we? We gather every Sunday. One day, sit back. Sit back and watch as each of us are greeting one another. We stand up, we greet, we give hugs, we have laughter, we have conversations, and when we are at our best, we reach out to somebody that we do not know. We together We together invite one another into community. The message is clear. Among us, you are part of something greater than one person. You are part of a community. This is what we do for one another. We love to listen as we gather. It is among one another that we find that deeper, larger space that Parker Palmer names. It is within this grace that we face the cold of winter, both in our lives and also the storms of history. This week, we celebrate Hanukkah. It is within the storm of history that Hanukkah comes. In this story, there is a deeper, larger grace that's found and not only shown, it's shown in a miracle. After battling forces which sought to deny the Jews their religion, their way of life, and their very lives, the Jewish people had to rededicate the temple, which had been destroyed by the forces that had sought to destroy them. There was only oil for enough for one night. But after fighting for their lives, this one oil, light of oil, did not last one day, or 2 days, or 3 days. But it stayed lit for 8 days. They did not hoard the oil or try to ration it. They leapt out in faith, and hope prevailed. Now, hope is found in many ways. We each name the presence of something that is greater than us differently. But what we share is the hope in the presence that is alive and can be found even in the darkest and coldest days of our lives. There are moments in the cold, there are sparkles of life, a smile of a stranger, a hug from a loved one, a call from a friend. These moments allow us to know that even if things feel difficult, there is a brief sparkle of light that brings hope in the midst of difficulty. Now take a moment, look around you. Yes, look around you. Turn to the person in front of you and beside you and say, you are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. This is the meaning of the season. You are not alone. We are a community with one another, and out of that community, we reach out to others. This is the basis of our social justice work, that we fight injustices in the world to say to all who face injustice, you are not alone. Now think of a time when you knew you were not alone. Perhaps it's a time when compassion from another broke through the winter of your life. Perhaps it's a time when you did not find another, but found in your life a deep truth that you are not alone because you have yourself. Now, at the beginning of this service, you were given a small candle. This candle represents the ways that we are in community with one another. It is a reminder that we are not alone. I invite you to take this candle with you today and light it. And remember that even on the coldest days, we have the warmth of one another. And as we leave this place, make sure you tell at least one person who you know and another who you do not know, you are not alone. Blessed be.